My dearly beloved, we have a very important lesson in today's gospel on the importance of the virtue of humility. Our Lord, noticing how those who were invited took the first places, told them to take a lower place, that when the master who invited them came, he might invite them up to a higher place. And our Lord ends with the advice, the counsel, everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. And this reminds us of the importance of humility in the spiritual life. First of all, humility forms the foundation, as it were, for all of our virtues, and without humility we do not obtain merit for our good works. Because if we perform a good work and we do it from a prideful heart, then that work will be without merit. But also, one important aspect of humility is that the devil is very proud, and if we want to overcome the devil, and with him to overcome all sin and temptation, we need humility to do so. In fact, it has been a dictum in the spiritual life that very often God abandons the pride, the proud, to their own devices. He, as it were, withdraws his grace as a punishment for their pride, and then they end up falling miserably. But if we maintain humility, then we will be deserving of God's help and will be able to overcome temptation, to overcome the devil. So humility is a very, very important quality to have, virtue to have, if we're going to advance spiritually and if we're going to overcome temptation. Our Blessed Mother is always pictured as crushing the head of the serpent, the head signifying the place where pride dwells. And it was her humility that brought her to such a high place. And that reminds us of the words in the gospel in which our Lord says that the master will go to one who places himself at the end of the table in the last place, that the master will go to him and say, "Friend, go up higher." And this reminds us of the saints, because the saints always considered themselves to be the last, to be the worst. And yet, in God's eyes, they were very holy. They were very pleasing to God. They were deserving of a higher place. They considered themselves undeserving. They considered themselves to be the least. Just as the proud consider themselves to be the best, and in fact, they are the lowest. And so this is an area where we must strive to imitate the saints. Strive to obtain a knowledge of our unworthiness, that we might consider ourselves lower than others, and thereby deserving to be placed above others. There are two wonderful examples that we read of this week, the priests, in our breviary lessons. Two examples taken from the Old Testament of holy women who won amazing victories by virtue of their humility. One is Judith, and the other is Esther. And briefly, to recount the stories, these wonderful Bible stories from the Old Testament, from the book of Judith and the book of Esther. Judith was a wealthy woman, a widow, in a city named Bethulia. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, being very proud and having a great deal of power, wanted to conquer all of the lands around and build up a big empire. So he sent his general, Holofernes, with a large army to Judea. And the people were very worried as they heard reports of this large army coming. And the high priest told the people to secure the passes in the mountains and fortify the cities and to gather within the cities food and provisions and water that they might withstand a siege. Well, Holofernes came with his big army and laid siege to the city of Bethulia, where Judith lived. And the siege lasted to such a point that the food was giving out, and the city fathers gathered together and they thought, we're going to have to capitulate. We're going to have to surrender. Better that than that we die of starvation here inside the walls. And Judith heard about this and she reproached them and she said, where is your trust in God? And she prayed and fasted for several days, and then she went forth with her maid, her handmaid, out of the city, and the sentries of the enemy army captured her and took her to the king, and he treated her very kindly and gave her a tent. Thought she was just simply fleeing because she didn't want to be in the city when it was captured. Well, one evening this general gave a banquet and invited Judith to come, and here she was praying all of this time, and he drank wine excessively. And he was completely drunk. It says more wine than he had drunk in his entire life, ever before, such a quantity of wine. And there he was drunk on his bed after the banquet, and Judith, when all was dark and quiet, went into his tent, took his sword, and cut his head off. And then she went back to the city, and then the Hebrews inside the city, the Hebrew army went forth, and the enemy realized that they were attacking, making a sally from the town walls. And they went to wake up their general and found he had been beheaded. And they were in panic. And so the Hebrews won a great victory as the enemy fled in panic because their general had been killed. Here this woman gained this great victory, and it was by her humility and her trust in God. And the second story, I think, is even more marvelous and especially more demonstrative of the importance and the value of humility. There was a woman named Esther who was an orphan as a girl, was raised by her uncle Mordecai. And he was a very, very devout Jew, fulfilling all of the laws of Moses and teaching his niece as well to be very faithful to the law of God. And here they were living in a pagan land at the time of the Assyrian captivity. And his daughter had been raised, as I said, to live, to follow the law of God. And it so happened that the king wanted to marry a wife, and he sent his ministers out to find all the beautiful women and bring them in before the king. And of all these beautiful women, among whom was Esther, she was the one chosen to be the queen. Now, the king did not know of her religion, that she was of the Jewish religion. And so, as time went on, Mordecai, her uncle, would stay at the gate of the palace because he would want to get word of Esther, and from time to time she would come out and speak to him. And he would always remind her of living her faith, and he would be there to get word of how everything was going with her. He was very concerned for her. Well, there was a man who was the minister of the king, the chief minister, what we might say the prime minister, and his name was Aman. And he came to work every day, went into the palace, and as he went through the gate, all these people who were around the gate would bow to him. They knew he was very influential, and so they would bow to him. But Mordecai alone refused to bow. And he just stood there as Aman went in, and that made Aman very angry. He was so filled with pride, he wanted everyone to bow to him. And he knew that Mordecai was a Jew. And so he persuaded the king, through lies, to issue an edict against the Jewish people, that on a certain date they were all to be destroyed. And actually, he issued the edict. The king gave him a free hand. And he convinced the king that these Jewish people in the kingdom were enemies. That they were, at any time, they might rise up and they must be eliminated. And so this edict was published. And Mordecai, of course, hearing of this, was greatly saddened. And he sent a message to Esther. And he said, now is the time for you to use your influence with the king and save your people. And Esther was very much afraid because the king was a very powerful man, and he even had a rule that no one could come into his throne room unless he called him. Otherwise, that person would be executed. And Esther was afraid to approach the king. Well, it so happened one night that the king couldn't sleep. And so he had his ministers read to him from the tales of his reign. And they read the story of how there was a plot to assassinate the king sometime before, and a man named Mordecai had foiled the plot, had informed the king that there was this plot, and the conspirators were apprehended and executed, and the king's life was saved. And the king said, "Was anything done for this man who did me such a great service as to foil this plot?" And the minister said, "No, nothing was ever done." Well, the next morning, Aman, this enemy of the Jewish people, comes to work. And as soon as he comes in, the king says to him, "Aman, what should the king do to honor the man whom he wants to honor?" Now, of course, Aman, being so proud, in his mind thought, "Of course the king is thinking of me. Surely there's no one else that he would want to honor more so than me." You see how proud people think. And so he said, "Well, the one whom the king wants to honor should be seated on the king's horse, and he should be crowned with the king's jewels, and he should be led through the streets by one of the most important ministers of the court, and everyone should be told to bow before him." And the king says, "That is a good plan. Now you go do that for Mordecai and don't leave out anything that you suggested." So here this proud man Aman has to lead through the streets the one that he hates, because Mordecai wouldn't bow before him. And that evening he goes home and he says to his wife, he's so filled with anger about Mordecai, "How can I destroy this man?" And he decides to build a gibbet right in his backyard, right outside his house. And he's resolved the next day to execute Mordecai himself. Well, Esther arranges a banquet, and she goes in the presence of the king and asks him if he would come to her banquet. And she's trembling because the king is so powerful and mighty and so fierce. And he says, "Esther, you have no reason to tremble. You are my queen." Quite ready to ask, so she says, "Will you come to the banquet that I have prepared?" And it's interesting, the king said to her about the law that no one could come into his throne room without being called. He says, "That law is not for you, it's for everyone else. A symbol, a type of our Blessed Mother, who is exempt from the law of original sin." At any rate, he goes to the banquet, and during the banquet he says, "Esther, what do you want?" And she said, "I plead for my life and for the life of my people. A wicked man has plotted to destroy us." And so she reveals to the king her true background, that she's of the Jewish people, and that Aman had plotted to destroy him, to destroy the whole nation. And as a result, Aman ended up being executed and hung up on the very gibbet that he had planned and erected to execute Mordecai. And it's a wonderful story of how the tables were turned, but it also shows us, it demonstrates so clearly, the evil of pride and the importance of humility. And we also must be humble if we want to overcome our enemies, the devil and his temptations. If we find ourselves assaulted by temptation over and over, maybe it's because we are too proud, and so God punishes us by allowing us to be besieged by temptation. If we were more humble, more aware of our own weakness, our own faults and failings, and more trusting in Almighty God, then we would more easily be able to overcome these assaults and these temptations. Let us remember then the importance of humility, and especially our Lord's words, "He who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.